Good morning, my little sweet Achilles. Where's all your toys?
Hey, Lori.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
Good. What'd you decide on the letter?
So I emailed it out.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw it. I just sent it out about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, no, I haven't checked. I'll pull it up here.
Yeah. And I wish there was a way. Do we have any participants on yet?
Nope, just you and I so far.
Okay, and no guests or anything?
Nope, it's showing. Or here, I'm going to make you, I'm going to put you co-host. Is that good?
Sure, that's fine. It's just you and me. No attendees. Okay, good. I wish there was a way we could make it so certain attendees couldn't hear anything.
Oh, I know. I don't know. We can't.
No,
I don't.
We can't.
It's a public meeting.
I wish we could have a meeting without port participation.
I know. Well, we'll see. You know, he's been pretty regular, though, the last couple meetings.
I know. It's easier. Oh, my God. My hair looks like wild.
It looks fine. I thought it looks. I was going to say, have you been cutting it? Has somebody been cutting it?
No, it's just curly. I was telling Brian, I was in a call. I said, my hair is starting to look like your hair.
Oh, yeah, because he has the waves and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I have really curly hair when it's short.
You're lucky. I wish I had curly. Yeah, no, my son, my 22-year-old son who just graduated, he's been cutting my hair because I like it short. So it's kind of crazy looking, but oh well.
Where did he just graduate from?
University of Washington.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, so, it was just this past weekend, but it was like a virtual graduation. And
what did he study?
He graduated with an economics degree. And so now he's job hunting, but it's looking kind of dismal. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, what a sad environment for graduates.
Yeah. And he's thinking about graduate school, but, you know, he's like, he doesn't really want to do an online program and, spend all that money for online. So he's just kind of in limbo right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard. Although if you can't find a job, then maybe going to school is a good thing.
Yeah. So we told him take a few weeks off, think about it.
Yeah, and it's not like you can do a travel year either.
Exactly, because he had some friends last year do that. They went backpacking through Europe all summer and can't really do that either. So, it is kind of an interesting time.
Let's see if I can, if I have this letter. I have the agenda. May, no, it's not May.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay, there it is.
only thing about screen sharing, okay, you sort of lose, you lose the other information that you have.
I kind of, sometimes I feel like I need three screens on these meetings.
Yeah, I'm on my Surface, so it's a tiny little screen.
Do you like that? Because they're rolling out a bunch of Surfaces to, you know, city staff folks.
I love it. I love it. I like it better. You know, they bought us iPads, which it's like, really?
Yeah, those are pretty limited.
Mm-hmm. They're limited. And the software, you know, like using Microsoft Teams doesn't, it's not really compatible with the Apple world. So I don't know why, I don't know why they did that. It was just strange to me, and it's heavier than my Surface.
Oh, yeah, they just rolled out Microsoft Teams to us as well. So we're getting all sorts of new platforms and stuff coming up. Yeah. So kind of exciting.
Do you miss not going into the office, or do you like working at home?
Well, I do like working at home, and I have been popping in like a couple evenings a week, like from like 7 to 9. And that way I'm able to print up, you know, bigger documents, and I route a lot of contracts. That way I can scan them in to our system, check on any mail, that kind of thing. So it's been working out really great. I like that. And then we've been calling, you know, by our other folks, talking to them on the phone. I mean, not the same as in person, but you still feel, you know, like you're connected to them.
Yeah. Hey, JC, I see you are an attendee. I don't know if you are on yet, but I will, I'll get back in touch with you and respond to your email. Sorry, I haven't. I can allow him to talk. Look at that. What control I have.
I know it gave you a lot of power.
You did. Jeff and Larry. Hi.
So Nancy's the host?
Well, Lori's the host, and she made me. Oh, it looks like Javier and Nakaya are attendees. So I can promote to panelists now.
Yes.
Control. I can do that. Look at
yeah,
that.
Thank you. Yeah, because I'm kind of responding to some emails here.
Okay. No, I've got them. I think I've got them as panelists now.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Javier.
Hey.
Hey, Nakaya.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hi there. Wow, all of us are getting longer hair, but Nakaya, you get the prize. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Tuesday to everyone.
Happy Tuesday, yes. Happy sunny Tuesday. Mm-hmm. All right, I am expecting... let's see. I didn't hear from anybody that they weren't planning to attend. Sharon, I need to promote her to panelist. So we have, let's see, we're waiting for Mayor Mata, Council Member Aragon, and City Manager Wilson. Otherwise, I think we have the rest of our committee members. Is that correct? Sharon hasn't...
Is Jeff on board?
Deb, yes. She was.
Here.
There she is.
I'm here. My video's on. If you scroll, you have to scroll sometimes. I don't know if we all fit on one page on a full screen.
All right. I'm promoting Brian Wilson to be a panelist.
I might sign off and give Sharon a call.
Okay. She's on. She's
on. Oh, she is. Oh, yeah. Okay.
There she is. We can see her.
Okay. Sorry.
And it looks like we have JC Harris and Dave Kaplan as attendees. It's 6:02. We'll wait maybe one more minute, see if we get our other two council members. Somebody's doing dishes. That's a good thing about Zoom. You can multitask, right?
I got your, am I on mute? No. Nancy, I just printed off your letter.
Okay. No, sorry.
Through it.
Yeah, I will. We can talk about it. I went back and forth as to, you know, is this worth doing? How many? And as we discussed at the last airport committee meeting, you know, is it worth trying to talk about things that we'd like to have, which we have talked about so many times? All right, I'm going to go ahead and start the meeting, call the meeting to order at 6:03 p.m. I believe we have all airport committee members in attendance with the exception of Council Member Aragon and Mayor Mata. Hopefully they will join us. I haven't heard otherwise. Our first order of agenda on the agenda is to approve the minutes from the last meeting, which are in front of you on the screen, and I'm sure you all have the meeting packet.
So I just had one small issue with the minutes, and Lori can help with this because she took all the notes. I took some notes too, but one of the things that we discussed was having port commissioners come to the back meeting for an informal discussion, and that was reflected in the minutes as requesting their attendance there, or his or her attendance, individuals to a back meeting, and it says in the minutes that we requested that they meet with the city council. And I don't know about the formal structure of meeting with the council and having a discussion. They would probably defer that to a Highline Forum if we to just invite one person to come and talk, not even come and talk. I mean, they can Zoom with us to the back, because then we could take those discussion items and forward that to the council for future further discussions, maybe at Highline Forum or somewhere similar.
So Debbie, I'm not following what your issue is, because I think what it says here in this, if you can see, I don't know if this is big enough, sorry. let me make this a little bit bigger. I'll make it legible there. Can you see this? So this, we said possibly having port commissioners come to a Burien Airport Committee meeting as something we would put in the letter. And you'll notice in the letter I sent, it has a, do we want them to come and engage with the BAC, our committee, or do we want them to engage as electeds to electeds with the city council? So I think that's something to talk about. But did we not capture what you think you said?
Well, I thought that we had invited Commissioner Cho to attend a BAC meeting.
Oh, I don't recall that. I recall you reaching out to me and saying that Commissioner Cho might be willing to meet with some members, but that was outside of our airport committee discussion. So that's what I recall is, I don't recall talking about Commissioner Cho coming to the meeting, but if I'm wrong on that, we can change the minutes.
Could we have it as a discussion item tonight for a few minutes on
Sure. What
kind of a formal process we can use to invite him to come and hear about our issues? I mean, he's fairly new, and it would be great to introduce him to community representatives and some of our issues and our concerns.
Let's, Let's add that. I think we've got an other in our agenda, if I'm not mistaken. Don't. We have an other here, so we can add it on our agenda.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay.
Because I think we also want to get back to the invite to Justin Bissau.
Yes.
Bissau?
Yes.
I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Anyway, so do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
A second? You can raise your hand if you want to second it.
Second.
Yeah, I'll second that.
All right. I think I heard Javier first. He beat you, Larry.
Okay.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Minutes approved. All right, so the next agenda item, and obviously I didn't do what it said in the meeting where we were gonna review a letter and then have it go to our council by June 1st. That didn't happen. The letter didn't get out to you until a little while ago. And let's see, stop sharing my screen for a minute so you can all see each other. And I'll put the letter. Which I sent to you all a few minutes ago. And my apologies for doing this so late. I will say, I went through the notes, I saw what we talked about. I personally sort of thought, okay, is this worth doing? And ended up finally drafting something this afternoon to see what you think. I have mixed feelings about this because I have listened, I did listen, Debbie, to Sam Cho and Joe Wynn have a conversation earlier today on Facebook. Joe has been interviewing various folks, and one of the people he interviewed was Sam today. And the entire conversation was about, you know, let's get things going. We were down to 2,500 passengers a day. We're back up to 10,000. We're going to get to 55,000. We're going to do that probably by the first quarter 2021. We've got economic growth that we have to. We're building this and this and this and this and this. So it was, there was not a single mention of, you know, and we are listening to airport communities about some of their concerns. So not that that's surprising, but just FYI. I do think Sam is pretty hardcore. The economic growth, and one of the things he said is that SeaTac is the largest non-private economic engine in the region. And so I think that's the mentality. And, you know, we don't necessarily disagree with that. We just recognize that we have concerns, those of us that live in airport communities. So I'm blabbering here. If you guys want to read this on screen or take a minute to read it, maybe that would be helpful. And then we can say, do we want to send something like this? Is this what we want to ask for? So take, why don't we take 5 minutes and you can read it either in your email or here on the screen.
Somebody pointed out to me recently, it's an aside, but I thought it was a little funny that 5% of what is going on at the airport is essential. Only 5%.
What I'm noticing is that couple or three of the items bulleted are related to an earlier missive that I sent to the committee in response to JC Harris's request that we contact the commissioners about halting flights and nighttime flights, etc. And in that missive I sent, I believe it was in April, I don't have it in front of me, although I could go grab my file. And but in order to do that, you'd have to request that CTAC conduct a Part 161 study, which is similar to a Part 150. It's a multi-year, multi-million dollar effort, and it's the only technical way, if you will, legal way to get to those points, to achieve those points, although many airports have submitted and conducted Part 161s, and they've never reached the point of having flights halted, whether they were daytime or nighttime flights. So the success rate on Part 161s is are pretty dubious, but it that is the method in which to achieve that objective if that's what you truly wanted to have happen.
Sharon, I think that's a good point. What I was trying to get here was sort of the outcomes, not necessarily the way we would get to them. Although I guess it's kind of a mixed bag of working with airlines. That's a means, not an end. Sort of the end goals were no nighttime flights, fewer daytime flights.
Well, whether you work with the airlines or not, it can't happen except in the venue of a Part 161. And in that email I sent you all, it laid out the conditions and the process, the RCW, the, no, it wasn't RCW, excuse me, the 14 CFR Part 161 federal citation for how that's done. So you could eliminate two or three of those things by just simply saying, we request a Part 161 be conducted by SeaTac Airport.
So what I, the issue is, well, at least in my mind, and maybe that's a more efficient way to say it, the port commissioners, you think the port commissioners are all going to know what that is?
Well, no, they'll have to turn to their staffs, and then their staffs will say the only way we can do that is through a Part 161. So, and I mean, I'm just, I guess, cutting out the middleman, whether they, I suspect maybe one or two or three may know what a Part 161 is. And even if they've heard the phrase, they probably don't know the circumstances of it. I was just thinking of a more direct way of saying it rather than having them come back and educating us on how that's accomplished.
Other thoughts?
You know, one of the issues is that there is no open channel of communication between board commissioners and us, right? Either the Bureau Network Committee or other members of the community. So I think that would be the first area where I would focus. I think this list is great and it's very reasonable, right? But I think it may be a little bit too premature to discuss, you know, what are the kinds of things that we want them to do, right? You know, before even, you know, being in an open conversation with them.
So focus on the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I suspect they'll come back and say, well, but you're the ones who stepped down from the start.
Start, right. But that's not electeds. That's not electeds, and so, and that's what I was trying to emphasize here. And you know, they can come back and say the Highline Forum. That has not been a useful body to have real conversations. Although I have a meeting set up tomorrow with Lydia Acefa Dawson, who's the co-chair, along with Ryan Calkins, who's the port commissioner of the Highline Forum now, to talk about the Highline Forum and what we might be able to do there as communities, as electeds who are sitting there with the port commissioner, if we have any opportunities. Lydia is not deeply steeped in most of this, so, but we'll see whether it might provide an opportunity for us to have a different kind of conversation in the Highline Forum. We don't have to send a letter. I mean, this, you know, again, this is what I kind of struggled with over the last couple of weeks, is how many letters have we sent? And maybe there's an inbox that the port has that says stuff from Burien. You know, there's the to-do, the immediate, the sort of long-term, and then there's stuff from Burien. I don't know, what do others think? Larry, Jeff, Nakaya, Debbie, anybody
else? Does this list all things that the port can actually do by themselves?
I said that here, that, yeah, you know, we may not fully understand what's in your span of control, but we'd like to discuss these. These are some of the outcomes we'd like to see. And for me, again, the reset opportunity is to say it's not business as usual. How could we do some things that don't return us to where we were, which for many people was not where they wanted to be, whether, you know, it's airport noise or whether it's inequity. I mean, that's the sort of logic in my mind, is do we have an opportunity here to not just go back to what we don't like, but to say, you know, could it be different? And again, I'm being an idealist, and I know, Sharon, you'll say you're a pragmatist, and those, we need both kinds in the world. I don't know, Larry, any thoughts? Nakaya?
I do have thoughts, and again, still new to the process and the committee, but happy to come on board, but have to learn how to be a committee member in such an unconventional way due to the pandemic. So connecting with folks is a bit different. But in looking at this letter and then also kind of reflecting as well on some of the reasons why I applied and some things you mentioned in your conversation, Nancy, but the reason why I applied is because, like I said, based on my experience working in environmental justice and Black and brown communities in the Deep South and doing a lot of work on that end and looking at environmental justice, this is a very different experience for me to live in such a predominantly white community, but also look at environmental justice from, I guess, more of a mainstream lens, as I'd like to, I guess, say, for the lack of a better word. But I guess what my question is this also a good time to potentially, you know, introduce like something new? I do like, you know, saying like, you know, the way things were, but you know, what does this look like going forward? And the reason why I mentioned some of the things in my background, because, and it was good to see in the Burien blog, many of you supporting out for the Black Lives Matter rally to honor the life and legacy of Mr. George Floyd. And my previous experience in Houston, I did a lot of grant writing for the high school that he attended, in which we restored their greenhouse and did some food justice projects. So I was, you know, invested in the communities that, you know, that are being impacted by police brutality with African Americans. And so I say that in looking at, is this an opportunity to also introduce looking at, you know, the people aspect in terms of unpacking some things to consider with airport planning and looking at racial justice and the way that I, you know, talk about in terms of looking at that, is to look at if we wanted to evaluate some of the communities that are near. Yes, African Americans only make up about 6% of Burien, but what about that larger community? When you talk about the Highline Forum, the other cities that were connected to, is it a time to introduce something that's new of saying that, yes, African Americans make up a small part, but this is also a time where airport planning can also address also larger social issues while also looking at how to protect the environment for all people. So that's just some of my thoughts, but I do like the fact that some of the requests to discuss the information on a broader sense to look at something and not out of a narrow scope is a great opportunity, but I also think it's also maybe a time to look at, you know, how we could also do some things of shifting gears forward to maybe look at how we could include that. So that would be my piece on that.
Do you have a specific suggestion for wording here that you'd want to see?
And that's why I also brought it to the committee, because I'm very new. I don't know if this looks like, you know, something, you know, that I, like I said, I have a vested interest in, and a professional and academic interest in researching Black and brown EJ problems. So I don't know if it looks to me, because this is something that's very different to me, is just maybe starting with a survey of just hearing what the Black communities actually have to say in regards to airport planning, in terms of looking at it as a tool, and not even maybe just African Americans, but at least, you know, surveying some of the groups, some of the social groups that we have in our community, but looking at how we could, you know, survey and hear some of those narratives and voices of what that is, or introducing something new so we can have even a more diverse broad of members and voices to support our work.
I'm fiddling with words here. I don't
know. No worries. And it's nothing worse than typing when everybody's looking at you.
Well, I don't know if you all can see me typing, you know, we could say something in here about sort of addressing some of the, you know, the equity issues. That equity seems like it doesn't seem like a strong enough word anymore. I don't know.
And that's what I said. And I don't know if it starts with, you know, us as a committee looking first to figure out where to guide others to look, you know, and that's, you know, what I would be interested to know, and something I would be interested in researching myself. You know, being a part of this committee has pushed me to, like, you know, kind of understand a little bit more about what our local government partners and organizations are doing. So maybe it's still just getting a consensus and just trying to, you know, hear what some folks have to say.
So I have some input. I'd just like to give Nakaya a little bit of information. Most of the census tracts in Burien are predominantly minority and low income. When it comes to our schools, we have one of the lowest achieving poorest schools in the state. And so, for instance, free and reduced price lunch for Highline School District runs about 66%, compared to City of Seattle School District, about 35%. So we're twice as poor on average as average residents in the City of Seattle. Now, most of our census tracts in Burien are eligible for environmental justice consideration because of the poverty and the predominantly minority population. So the biggest chunk of the minority population in Burien is Hispanic, second is Asian. And like you said, it is a smaller percentage of Black population in Burien, but there are a number of different groups that are extremely stressed. So if you write a statement into this letter, it would be great to have your background, considering that the inequity that's going on here of people that are already stressed with the highest climate, highest pollution, highest noise levels in comparative terms to the rest of the region, at least, we are much higher and we are much more already stressed. And all of this also goes into a mitigation discussion that we should have, Nancy, because I've been having this conversation with, you know, Tino Orwell convened that group to talk about the real-time monitoring, air monitoring going on around Boston Logan. Something very interesting has come out of this, where in LA, a study was done recently that found that filtration in the schools immediately caused a rise in academic performance. And after a period of time, these schools were performing better than those without impacts. So it matters that we have these high pollution levels and high noise levels, and we have underachieving and underperforming children in our schools that are already handicapped by language barriers and social detriments. And, you know, that maybe we should be having a conversation about the type of mitigation we'd like to see. Port of Long Beach actually paid for the filtration systems that went into nearby homes and schools. And so we're trying to talk about, what does the mitigation look like? What kind of things should we expect? And who should be paying for this? It costs a lot more to live here because of the social detriments we face. Our costs are higher, our road repair costs are higher, our congestion is higher, our loss of work time is higher because of sleep loss, our healthcare costs are out of this world.
So Debbie, I added a sentence here. I based on Nakaya's statement of, you know, sort of concerned about, you know, our minority population and environmental justice, I simply said it. I'm trying to keep this really concise and sort of categorical, if you will. And Debbie, I added opportunities for more mitigation of impacts. But I really want to know from, I guess, all of you, should we bother to send this letter? Are we just sort of barking up a tree here, or whatever the right metaphor may be?
I think we should work on it, and I absolutely think we should send it. And just to keep in mind too, that we're trying to lift all boats here. I mean, what benefits one community is going to benefit all communities, and shouldn't continue to be the whipping boy suffering for a region to make money.
Okay, so we do know all that. This would be a letter, when I say we send it, it would go to the Burien City Council for their, we would recommend to them that something like this be sent as an opportunity to change things. So I guess I'd like to hear from Larry. You haven't said anything yet.
Well, I'm taking all this in, and Nancy, I'm fully in favor of this letter going forward. It never hurts, and I think for us to provide this to the council for their consideration to send the letter keeps us engaged with the council, and I think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. I would just like to say that I think Nakaya coming on board from day one, I'd like to spend more time with you, Nakaya, because I think your background and experience on environmental justice with Mayor Mata, I've spent a lot of time discussing with him about how the minorities in our community are being the most abused by this airport. And with your background, I'm excited that you might give us insight as we continue to move forward here on how we can bring this stuff to the forefront with your experience and background. So I'll leave it at that, but I am in favor of the letter, and I'm excited that Nakaya, there's a lot that you can educate and inform us about.
Thank you, Larry. Like I said, I'm excited to be a part, but I just want to make sure, you know, I'm supporting the committee. And
well, you got my full support, and anything that you can help educate and inform us and make our point that we're not going to be abused by this airport because we're poor and underprivileged, and you know, ethnically, these people are being the most adversely affected.
Larry, can you adjust your camera just a little bit so we can see your mouth? There, that's better.
And I will say thanks, Debbie, for that context also earlier about school free and reduced lunch. We did a study with Dr. Paul Mohai at the University of Michigan on the proximity of air pollution and the relationships between free and reduced lunch and all of that. So I can pull some of those things out. I can see, look through some statistics, see what I can kind of find and see, you know, what's going on and what I can kind of plug into. But I'm a newbie, so I'll just start small. But we'll see where we can go from there.
So, go ahead.
Oh, one observation I would make is that, something else came up on the, about the letter is that I think one of the themes, or a theme that kind of pulls all these pieces together that we're discussing would be to say, since we know COVID is still around and it hasn't disappeared yet, that's kind of a common thread throughout this and gives opportunity to talk about the implications of COVID on this local environmental justice population and kind of take that angle on the letter as opposed to, we just want to let you know what's on our minds right now. and that seems to me a way to bring up some of these things that, for example, the halting flights, whether they're daytime or nighttime, becomes a factor in the health. We've always been aware of that, but if we make the tone of the letter about the health of our populations coming from the elected officials' point of view, then you can kind of pull all these pieces together in a very cohesive way to make the point that if things go back to normal or pre-COVID conditions, this is the pot of stew we're living in, which is to say this many kids, you know, we know are already not achieving high performance rates in schools and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just kind of go down the list, not only of the problems, but then some ideas about mitigation. I think it makes the letter much more timely and topical to what's occurring right now in our lives.
So how about, editing in real time is hard, and it's my fault because I didn't send it out to you until just before the meeting. How about you all take a look, see if, after reading it over again and thinking about it, I'll send you this slightly modified version. Think about whether we should send it. Think about whether you think there are changes we should make in it, add, take out. I would suggest that we don't make it a whole lot longer. So if you're going to add things, let's take things out because the attention span is limited. So how's that sound if I just share this with all of you and maybe in the next week you can get back to me? Council doesn't meet again until July 6th. So we've got some time to put this in front of them or get this, work on this a little bit via email and then get it in front of them as a recommendation. That sound okay?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Okay. Yep. Let's do that. There you all are again. Let's see, did we lose somebody? I guess we still have everybody. Debbie's gone. Debbie's gone dark. That's fine. okay, next
thing. I'm looking up a letter on email.
Okay, yeah, and Sharon, you know, if there are things you want to stick in there, I would remind you as we do this, and not that electeds need to be written to at a fifth grade level, although, you know, maybe eighth grade, I'm not sure what level it is. It's not the level of sort of the technical specialist. So I would just encourage you not to sort of overwhelm this with technical details that you know, most electeds are just going to go, shh. I really do want the commissioners, and I am thinking about, you know, as Debbie said earlier, we can talk about having Sam Cho come, Ryan Calkins will talk to me, I mean, Fred Fellerman, I mean, the commissioners are all accessible to us electeds, and it may be we send a letter like this, and then I follow up with an email or a phone call, or, you know, I'd like to sit down and talk about what, you know, your reaction to this and how we take the next steps. So it won't just be a letter in their inbox. Back to our agenda. The next thing we had was, so I wanted to, two things on the NEPA update. Debbie had sent a letter, which I thought, I'll share my screen again. Sorry, guys, I am not usually the manager of the meeting, so. Here is this, and this is in your packet, so I'm not sharing anything you don't have via email. This is something Debbie shared with the Port Commission at their meeting last week. Is that right? Last week? The week before? Last week, I guess. That was something, actually, Debbie, it was something I was not aware of previously, about sort of the reality of doing, combining environmental assessments, EISs, EAs, whatever, when you're sort of addressing one project, that's what NEPA requires. I do think, you know, one of the things that I struggle with is the port is taking this action with the SAMP. That's, you know, the port is not a federal agency. The FAA has to affirm it. And the FAA has to do an analysis because the FAA is sort of a party to what the port is doing. But I sort of go back and forth. Anyway, Debbie, you may be able to explain this more clearly. Before you do that though, let me just say, I wanted to give you an update on some of the NEPA EIS conversations that have gone on in the last week. We have, you know, we wrote the letter to David Sumi in March saying that the FAA should do an EIS. And we got a response back from him, which I think was pretty dismissive, basically said, we're going to look at these little things and we're not going to worry about cumulative things that you all are pointing out to us. We subsequently drafted some language that we sent to Representative Jayapal's staff. And when I was in DC in March, I shared that with Adam Smith and with Rick Larson and with Jayapal, asking them if they would be willing to draft a letter to Dixon, the FAA administrator, over, you know, the whole shebang, and that says something similar, that the cumulative impacts of all of these activities coupled with what's going on in the SAMP necessitate an EIS. Brian and I had a conversation last week with our lobbyist, Mike Doubleday, and I'm drawing a blank, Jessica on Jayapal's staff, about that request that we'd made. Actually, we'd had a meeting with not only Jayapal's staff, but Smith's staff, Larson's staff, sort of the full cadre of folks. We'd had a call maybe 3 weeks ago, I think it was since the last airport committee meeting, where they were asking some hard questions about, you know, what is it you're asking for and why. And I have sent them, and Debbie, I think you shared some things with me, all the background on why this should be an EIS versus all the sections of NEPA, the code, and so on. that resulted in Jessica coming back to us in the last few days for a phone conversation and saying they took that to their ethics committee. So before the representatives can act and send letters to agencies, they will run it by their ethics folks. And there were, let's see if I can find this. There were three things that came up that they asked us questions about. One was, isn't it a requirement that you do an EA before an EIS? And I didn't think so. I see Debbie, you shaking your head. Brian has checked with Michael Mathias, who used to do this kind of work. He doesn't think so. We are going to check with Matt Adams, but they asked us to affirm that. I sent her, again, all the language. And so that's, so they're looking at this. I mean, this is a reach for them to do this. The other two questions they asked us that came from their ethics folks, let me just finish this, Deb, and then I'll come to you. Are we in some way endangering our lawsuit? Are we sort of mucking in territory that would compromise our lawsuit? And the response to that is no, because the lawsuit is done, basically. You know, we sent a letter saying, we're not going to sue you again. And we're going to deal with this in the SAMP process. And then the third was an observation that if they send this letter on our behalf, which again, that, you know, we're feeling like it's a bit of a reach for them, that any subsequent request from someone to do something like this, they would have to address it. They would have to comply with it. So they don't want that. So this is a precedent, somewhat precedent setting for them. And what they wanted us to think about doing, what they're suggesting is language that says, do a more thorough EA. And you know, my response is, well, they should be doing a thorough EA anyway. I mean, it's not like there's a lightweight EA and a thorough EA. But so I just wanted to share that with you. I think they will be willing to pursue this, but, you know, we just need to be open to the fact that they have some questions about it. So it is moving forward. They have an interest. They're paying attention to our needs and our concerns. So Debbie.
Okay, so the first thing is that's different about our situation is that we have a court affirming our position. So it isn't like this is just something we're insisting on as a group of citizens representing, you know, this airport impacted community. We have the Ninth Circuit Court, a federal court, saying we're right and they're doing the wrong thing. So the only way in reality for them to properly develop the environmental analysis is to do an EIS. And the reason for that is because there are specific things in NEPA that lead them to that conclusion. There are references and verses and that I can send and cite for you. When they're looking at a project, there's different things to check off. Might we find significance here? Well, the reason why it's different for us is because FAA has already admitted significance. Noise levels have gone up by 20 decibels in an area near SeaTac Airport. They admitted that in the CADEX. So they already have significance. And they aren't allowed to separate their process from the port. It says shall. That's the strongest word in NEPA. They don't have a choice on it. They need to combine their federal process with the state process and produce one document. That's a law. So this isn't asking these federal representatives to go out on a limb on our ideas. This is asking them to help us enforce the law, both NEPA as it stands and the court decision as it was written. So I just think that, you know, they don't know well enough what they're doing and need help, obviously. So I can give them those are just a few examples. The other big example is the fact that you've got a major freeway expansion going on in the same airshed, same noise environment, using data that's wrong and outdated, where significance has already been admitted by FAA. So relying on Port's old data from the Part 150, which WestDOT did, which FAA did not do, but which the Port is doing in the SAMP, potentially, is a fake process. It's wrong, it's fraudulent, it's illegal, and it's immoral.
It's a fatal flaw.
Fatal flaw. Now, the other thing in NEPA that's important to this too is that they're extending their process. So federal agencies are required to reduce paperwork. They are required to minimize the process. And in fact, even President Trump has written an executive order on this, requiring that agencies reduce paperwork, process, and time whenever possible. This is a violation of that as well, because the EA is set to come out first, then an EIS. Now, let me ask everybody one hypothetical question. In your mind, can one agency say we may have significance, we're writing an EIS, and another agency that's a partner on the same project says, we don't think so, we're doing an EA, and we're going to kick the can down the road and let you guys on the state level worry about the law? That's what's happening here. FAA wants to do one process, the Port wants to do another. Doesn't make sense. It's irreconcilable.
I think that's a major
point. Let me ask Brian if he has anything he wants to add here on the conversations that we've had with Jayapal's office. You have anything you want to add, Brian?
Well, thank you. Good evening, everybody. First, I do sense a degree of hesitancy on the part of Jayapal staff and also Representative Smith's staff in terms of sending a letter and making sure that the hesitancy is to make sure that whatever they put in that letter is accurate and is based on, agreed upon criteria. And oftentimes they look at precedent, they look at past practice, they look at what the law is. And, as we've discussed before, for airports, they've talked about an EIS, and the argument is, if you have a new runway or a new airport, it requires an EIS.
No, it's all based on significance.
Let me finish. So again, this is, this is counsel that Matt Adams has given us. And what he said was that all of the growth and everything that's come out of our airport committee about all these things that have occurred, growth at SeaTac, that have not had an EIS. I think the last EIS was with the third runway.
Mm-hmm. There's
been a tremendous amount of growth and changes. Even the last discussion that I forwarded about the Port's $334 million investment in the C building, that was not considered part of the SAMP. There's all this segmentation. But what Matt Adams said to us was that there is an argument there to be made. And if we were to make that argument, it would have to be identified by the courts. And that would be our avenue to make that. So short of having a court coming out and saying that this needs to be done given these criteria, based on that and the two areas that I spoke of before, which is a new airport and a new runway, I believe there's some hesitancy about going to get their letter on behalf of their congressional representatives to push this issue. Now, what they did say is that they would fully encourage an EA and to identify all of the factors that have been discussed here. And how important it is, and that the congressional representatives have an eye on this issue, especially for SeaTac, but also around the country. And that was the last part of the conversation that we had. And then for me to check, I want to be very clear with Matt to determine that an EA is not required before an EIS, which I don't think that's the case, but I want to confirm with Matt Adams.
Oh, okay. Can I say just a couple of things? I appreciate that, Brian. I understand the background on the new runway. It's a major airport development that requires an EIS, and a new runway is considered that. Lengthening a runway is considered that. But in NEPA, and that forces FAA to do an EIS process right from the gate. But that is never why that should be done. It's because those are automatically assumed to be significant, okay? So it's significance. That is what the threshold is, not what they're doing.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Debbie. In actuality, there hasn't been any precedent to showcase the significance of incremental growth over a period of time requiring an EIS. That's the only point, is that there isn't that precedent. Yeah. And
this is why it's so nice to have the court decision, which affirms our position that they haven't done the work. And the kind of work we're asking for, what's envisioned in NEPA, and what that law requires, 1506.2, that requires a combined process with the two agencies simultaneously in one document.
Yeah, I think, Debbie, the challenge is who forces them to take this action. Does this have to be
the law? They're co-lead agencies.
But who, they have made the decision not to do this. And so is it a court? Does it have to be a court order?
No, it can be our federal representatives can request this. That can compel them to do it. Now, Adam Smith has done this in the past. He did it on the third runway process. He got involved as our ninth district representative and push the FAA to do things that they weren't willing to do. So precedence has been set by his office and by him personally.
Okay, well, that's what we're working on here now. And a lot of what you've already given me, those citations, including that last email that you sent to the Port Commission, that has all been shared with their staff. I think we have to, this is a dialogue we're in now. I think they're willing to take action. They want to know they have all the ducks in a row and that they're not doing something that violates ethics or, is asking for something that wouldn't be legal. So they're trying to cover, their activities, because according to the staff now, and Debbie, you may be right, Adam 20 years ago did something. That's not who's working on this right now, unfortunately. I mean, these are, Adam may remember, but the staff don't know that because they're not that old. So I think we're just trying to make sure we've got all our ducks in a row. We're not dropping it. We just have to figure out how we take these steps in a logical way. So I wanted to give you all that update. And that was incredibly useful, Debbie, that email that you sent to the Port Commission. I assume you're not getting any response from the port, or are you?
I did get a response. I have to think of whether it was on this one from Fred. So no, I haven't gotten a response from Fred on this one, but I did get a response on another email that I sent recently. I'll dig it up and forward it to the committee.
Okay.
It was agreeing that we should have a conversation on, I think it was on mitigation.
All right. Well, that's where we are with our continued efforts to try to force, encourage.
I have a question about David Sumi's letter back to you folks about the request for an EIS over an EA. Did he send copies to the legislative the federal legislators?
No, but we did.
Oh, okay.
So they've seen them. They have seen all those letters that have been sent.
Because you mentioned it as, you described it as a dismissive of our concern. So I just wondered if anyone else had seen that.
Yeah, no, they have.
Okay, thanks.
And the other cities have seen those too. So we've, and I just followed up this week because I heard, I know JC's here, but there was some discussion that Des Moines had not seen those letters, even though they were CC'd on, certainly on our original letter. So those have all been shared now with the other cities. So they're all aware, you know, and
Nancy, I got a follow-up question for Brian, if I could speak to Brian about his discussion with Matt Adams.
Sure, go ahead, Larry.
In the discussion with Matt, if I understood what you said is correct, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that in the SAMP process, this cumulative thing, is Matt thinking that that is going to give us an open door to challenge if they wind up doing just an EA, that the cumulative and the court decision is going to give us an opportunity to challenge that decision by the FAA?
You know, I think, you know, the avenue of where we could have the best results is what he said was to challenge through the SAMP. However, once that draft report is put forward, that is where we have to have all hands on deck and to address the contents of that report. And we have a legal responsibility at that point, you know, our concerns need to be addressed. So there's quite a few initiatives in place to at that time, but that will be an area where we would consult, you know, and as you know, we have the 4-city consortium to assist us, and we have, you know, funds to do the SAMP review, which will be part of it. But I also have Matt Adams on retainer specifically for Burien as well. And I'm hopeful that we utilize his expertise in that regard as well, in terms of our best next steps at that point.
Oh, Larry, I want to respond to your question because that came up. Do you remember the phone conversation we had with Matt? It was like February. I know I was out somewhere and we were all still meeting people. We weren't quarantined. And I was on the phone and we had this conversation about the letter that Matt subsequently wrote that Brian signed. And I asked whether this notion that these activities cumulatively should necessitate an EIS. And he thought about it for a few minutes and said, yes, that is highly likely. And then that's what led us to write the letter.
Yes.
So that was the basis on which we started down this path.
I got something I need to interject because I don't know if people know this, but there is no FAA EA that has ever led to an EIS. Every one of them that's ever been written has gone to a FONSI, finding of no significant impact. Every one of them. That's what's going to happen with ours.
Well,
so that timeline in between the issuance and approval of the EA and the development of the impact analysis by the Port of Seattle is going to be a different timeline that's going to push delay into the process. So the Port of Seattle will be developing a greater analysis in an EIS, while the FAA has excused himself completely from the process. I don't know how we're going to manage this. If the two don't do a combined document, we're going to have two different legal processes going on that are, it's messy. And it's out of compliance with NEPA. This is why it's so critical. Right.
Debbie, we know that. Okay, Debbie, we know that. And what we're trying to do here, what I keep, the difference in the way we're writing these letters is it is not an EA, it is not an EIS on the SAMP. It's an EIS on the cumulative activities that have taken place. It's more holistic than just saying, they may write an EA on the SAMP and say, yeah, there's not much impact. But that's not what we're asking for. We're trying to point out the geographic and temporal context within which the SAMP is occurring. And that's what necessitates an EIS from the get-go. And so
that's a good statement, Nancy.
So we've just got to figure out, you know, how we, so I think we're on the path to having some folks willing to step up and help us. We just have to figure out how to package this in a way that makes them feel comfortable. And I don't think it's impossible. They're not shutting us out. They're saying, yes, we want to help. So anyway, that's the update on all of that. Any more questions?
And Debbie, I want to make one last statement. That
I won't hold you to it being last, okay?
Okay. No. You know me. We're effectively building an airport on top of an airport with all the facilities, all the expansion, the roadway improvements, the doubling of operations. We're effectively putting an airport on top of another airport. If this airport were new with the kind of operations envisioned with the SAMP, it would never pass environmental muster. And FAA is a partner and a party to this. The only reason they can excuse themselves is because the noise is already there. If it all were brand new noise, they'd be in a world of hurt.
Right.
But you can say it's okay to make it worse, but it's not okay to start it up. But we should look at this like building an airport on top of an airport. If you were doing this in the middle of these neighborhoods, it would never be doable. Right. Not in any imagination.
Yeah, and that's the incrementalism that has...
Right, so that's what their plan is to right. say it's not worse. It's right. just a little worse, so we're fine.
Yep. Okay.
That's already too bad.
Let's move on. We've got the other topic on our agenda tonight was the ongoing discussion about re-engaging with START and where we are with the other cities. And I did reach out to some electeds in other cities to say, you know, are you thinking about this? Where is it? Do you want to have a conversation? The reaction I got was it hasn't been on our agenda because of the quarantine, because of the OPMA and only doing necessary and routine business. But we do want to talk about it. And I reached back out and I said, I think all of our cities are sort of in the same place where our councils are going to make a decision, but they all want to know what the other cities are doing. And so unless we get together and have some conversation among the cities as to what direction we go, it's this kind of chicken egg thing that I'm sort of running up against. And so I suggested to some of these other folks that maybe we could have a discussion, and I don't know if we want to do it tonight. Maybe we can do it, just start it tonight, around the sort of pros and cons. And I think we've already done a little bit of this, of the pros and cons of going back to START, re-engaging with START or not re-engaging with START. I don't know, that's where we stand now. And Brian, I don't know if you said you'd had some conversations with the other city managers, so you have something to share?
Well, I just want to, you know, exhibit to some caution in terms of having this discussion with the port representative on the line.
Yes, yeah. I am being very cautious of what I'm saying, and that was
rather not discuss the strategy for the city of Burien or any of the other cities that have made it to the port, you know, with that situation. So I do think I would also recommend that the city managers and the first representative of each of the two cities, Des Moines and Federal Way, are there's a reach out to them as well. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay. Yeah, good suggestion. That was my a bit of my hesitation. And Dave Kaplan, we love you, but it's challenging. Let's say it that way. Okay, I'm going to move on to the other on our agenda then, which was our sort of fourth topic. And you can, you know, perhaps you all can share some thoughts if you have them, if you want to have a conversation. I'm happy to follow up on some of the START activities. But Brian, I agree, the sort of city managers having this conversation would also be helpful. So we had talked about inviting, and if someone, Sharon or someone who's been at a meeting where Justin's last name has been pronounced, I don't know how to pronounce
it. Oh no, I haven't been at a meeting. I wouldn't know him. No, I didn't even remember his first name was Justin. So
Justin,
remember we've talked about it at previous meetings.
Yeah, we talked about it at our last meeting, and the feedback we got was that he attends START, that he doesn't really have an interest in attending individual community meetings. We've since gotten some feedback that some of our federal representatives believe that he very much should be attending our individual community meetings. So we may have, we have potentially some opportunity to encourage Justin to invite him to one of our meetings and encourage his participation. Not only an invitation from us, but we may be able to solicit an invitation from our federal representatives that he would be very welcome in Burien to talk about some of the FAA dynamics. I mean, that's in theory what he's there for.
Great idea.
If you all are comfortable with it, then I'd like to draft an invitation to him to an upcoming meeting and see how we can go with that.
Good idea.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Love it.
I think that's very helpful.
Okay, good.
Yeah, ASAP.
All right, and then Debbie, you had talked about potentially, I think we could invite any of the port commissioners to come and have a conversation with us. I mean, that's a beginning of a conversation. And Fred has come to our meetings in the past. I think it was last year, perhaps.
So can we formally invite Sam, or maybe Sam and Fred, or whoever we think might want to participate? I think they can only have a couple people at a time. Otherwise, it constitutes a quorum and it'd have to be noticed. And so we can have one or two, I believe.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And, you know, it may be Ryan would be another option because he does co-chair the Highline Forum. So he's getting more exposed to a lot of these issues. I think we could figure out, extend an invitation and say, we'll host two at a time, whoever wants to participate.
I think that's a great idea. Can we do that formally as a back? Do we need a motion?
And can I suggest one other purpose to add, since we're all having people to add? Can we have someone from either their diversity and equity board or either from their council just to hear? I see some things online, but some of their work is kind of vague and I'm kind of new, but I would like to hear just what that looks like, or if you suggest like a separate meeting for that. But I would like to hear like what they're doing and what that looks like and just some of that, what that culture looks like on their end, just to see, how I could connect or understand a little bit more, that would be helpful too.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Nakaya, their work in that domain is new as well.
I saw that, yeah.
That's probably why it seems a little nebulous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
but I think we could have asked for a briefing on that. So,
okay, because I saw their invitation for the board, but I was like, I'm so new to this one. I want to just chew on one thing at a time. So we'll see what I can do in Burien first before we reach out.
Thank you. Let's see. One other thing under other. I had an email, and I guess this is old news, so you all may already know this, but Sheila, I don't believe is on the call. I mean, you've seen this, I think, about the GAO, that SeaTac is one of the airports that is-
Metroplex.
Yeah, the Metroplex. Are you all aware of that? You all know that already, so.
I actually don't, I'm pretty.
It's part of a bill that, and I don't know, Sharon or one of the Quiet Skies folks may be able to explain this better than me.
Well, it's a federal designation, and they had some criteria that set a threshold for an airport to reach that designation, and SeaTac didn't reach it, but because of working with Representative Smith's office, and I think his lobbying FAA, or I don't know the vaccines on it.
There's the president's.
But whatever, that's how it happened, is I think it was through Representative Smith's office that made that happen.
It was. Yep.
Thanks, Sharon.
Oh, you're welcome.
There you go, Nancy. Great example of Smith's office getting involved with pushing the FAA to do something they didn't want to do.
Yep. Anybody else have any other, in the other category, updates or issues?
I had one on the King County Department of Public Health presentation. That was I think it was a master's work by a UW student.
Yeah.
And Nancy, I think you were on that call.
I was.
So I looked into some of the data behind what informed her conclusions. And one of the things, I'll just give you one example, because I've been in a dialogue back and forth with Kim and Chris Johnson at Department of Health, been in a long conversation, sharing a lot of information back and forth. This is significant, is that when they did the hydrocarbon counts by which they got the risk number, they have emission rates with SeaTac as like 36th in the nation. We know they're the eighth busiest airport in the country right now. So this data was extremely outdated and very, very small in comparison to what the reality is right now. So when you're doing risk and you're doing 1 in 1 million or 1 in 100,000, and you have that threshold that goes up to a certain point, at some point it's dangerous for public health to be near it. And they didn't reach that threshold with their conclusions. But again, like I said, they used data that put us about 36th in the midst of the nation's airports rather than 8th. So
yeah, I have to say, Debbie, and I think we talked about this, I wasn't real impressed with that presentation. It was a disappointment sort of across the board. I mean, the way it was presented, the content of it, I felt like it didn't do us a good service to say, actually, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but it felt like a master's thesis that was sort of just not very peer reviewed or sort of high end. And I know it wasn't intended to be that, but it was.
I couldn't agree more, Nancy. I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's my exact feeling.
I think the biggest disappointment about all this is I believe this work came as a proviso from the legislature to look at the health impacts in our community. And it was taken over by somebody who I don't think had the ability to, maybe not to understand the holistic whole history of the kind of things that are going on here. And I don't know, it was sort of passed on to this person from Chris Johnson from Department of Health. So it doesn't have the high level approach that I think we had expectations of from the proviso and the guidelines to have this work done.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't. It just wasn't particularly professional, I guess. So
yep.
It was too bad.
But the bad thing about this stuff is in the end, it comes out saying, hey, you guys are fine. Move
right.
on.
I realize that. So it does damage. So even, was sort of a marginal study, and yet somebody's going to quote it and say,
it's another Stantec. You know, everything's okay. We're nothing to worry about, folks.
Right. We had really crappy data.
Say nothing.
Nothing to worry about. That's basically what these two reports have said. Anybody else have anything for the good of the order on other? I want to go to see if we have any public comment here, but.
No, I don't have anything.
And topics that we should be, we're potentially going to send out some invites. Let me just synopsize here quickly. I'd like input on the letter we talked about. If you have any preliminary thoughts on START, reach out and we can have a conversation. And then we are going to extend some invitations to the FAA ombudsperson, the port commissioners, and the equity and diversity leads at the port. And where you can look over, these are summer meetings. I assume they're still Zoom meetings, but that's the world we're in right now. Maybe we'll all be able to see each other one of these days. We'll sit around a great big table.
It'll have to be big because we'll be 6 feet apart.
But any other agenda topics that you
want? And 15 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. I am going to go to public comment now. I am going to unmute. Did I unmute? I think I unmuted JC. So, JC, do you have any comments you want to make? I'm trying to unmute you and.
Looks like he's got himself very comfortable.
No, there. Oh.
Nope.
No comments? Okay. Thank you. And Dave Kaplan, any comments you want to offer?
Maybe we bored him.
Nope, not tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, I will entertain a motion to adjourn if nobody has anything else.
I have one more question, Nancy. Is there anything that is needed for the federal consideration of the EIS issue?
I'll get back to you on that, Deb, okay? We have shared with them all of that material that you gave me earlier, all of those references to all of those sections, and I went through and copied all of the NEPA sections. So they have all of that background. And,
okay.
and your letter to the Port Commission, they have that. So
okay.
The previous letters we've sent. So
okay.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Good job.
Was there a motion to adjourn here?
I so move.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Thanks. It's good to see everybody. Thank you. And stay
good
healthy.
See everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Very good. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.